Welcome to the American Hard Enduro Podcast.
All right, welcome to the American Hard Enduro Podcast. I'm Drew Kirby, and it's been way too long. I apologize. I've been, I think, MIA, Rob, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's definitely been a while.
Yeah, so I'm joined by Rob Moen, one of the main guys at Tough Like Roar. I think we've called him the trail boss before. Rob, how you doing today?
Excellent. Yourself?
Well, doing well. We were chatting before we hit record. So I've been off the bike since technically November. What were we in? Virginia for the Kairos, the River Monster Hard Enduro.
Yep.
You and Joey came down. Jarrett and I came up, and it was an awesome event, except for I blew my shoulder out at that race. I had surgery December 11th, and honestly, I haven't wanted to deal with dirt bikes much at all. So I kind of just went off the radar, and I've been keeping up with everything and everybody, but it's kind of hard.
Are you sure it was from racing and not all the cornhole we played after the race, Drew?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember any cornhole. I'm pretty sure, but you know, the highlight of the race was still beating your son with one arm and one really blown out shoulder.
Well, every once in a while, he's got to throw you a bone.
Yeah, that was nice of him to let me in. So it turned out I went to the doctor, had surgery December 11th, torn rotator cuff, torn bicep, and I think a torn labrum. So had surgery December 11th, like I said. I didn't realize how long rotator cuff rehab was. So they say in 6 months, which puts me right after the Tough Like Roar race. But as you said,
you're an athlete. You heal quicker. You heal quicker than the normal person.
My physical therapist said I am doing really well.
So
we'll see. I don't know if I'll be back. So obviously the reason we're doing this is signups are about to open up for Tough Like Roar. Is that right?
Correct. March 25th, I think it is. It's a Monday.
All right, March 25th. So before we get into Tough Like Roar, I've been surprised because I think TKO signups already open and several of the other rounds are open as well.
I think you are correct.
Okay. So you guys, we always try to do a kickoff podcast because we moved you guys up as last year. It's the Keystone Challenge again. It is Memorial Day. You corrected me yesterday. I thought it was Labor Day, so I can't ever keep the two straight. So it's the weekend of April 25th through 27th. Similar format. So what?
Drew, you said April. It's in May.
Oh, it's in May. So I wrote five down. I must have
missed holidays.
Hey, this is what day is this? It's Saturday. At what time is it? 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm not awake yet. So, all right. So May 25th through 27th.
There you go.
Okay. So we're back. All right. So signups open. When did you say March 25th?
March 25th. It's a Monday at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
All right. So in years past, signup has dedicated your starting order. Is that correct?
Correct. Just for Saturday's qualifier, first race. That's the only thing that it dictates.
Okay, so let's start off with the Saturday race. I know you said you listened. Well, you guys had some complaints last year because you changed it up. So in the past, we had a bunch of racing on Saturday at Tough Like Roar. Then Sunday, we had the LCQ, then the main event. When we combined the Sugarloaf race, the Locked and Loaded, and y'all's race, what was it? We shortened up Saturday. So we only had one qualifier on Saturday, LCQ Saturday afternoon, and then the main event early Sunday.
Correct.
Okay, so then what did we do last year, and what are you guys planning on doing different this year for that Saturday qualifier?
For the Saturday qualifier last year, we did two laps on a roughly 4.5 mile course, and listening to what people had to say, reading all the riders' surveys, you know, it seemed like a lot of people just thought that Saturday's qualifier races were, you know, a little too easy. So what we decided to do is make them a little harder. And what happens when you make a race harder, Drew? We talked about this earlier. Bottlenecks.
Hold on, let me think. Yep. And the one thing you hate is bottlenecks.
Yep, exactly.
And as a racer, I hate bottlenecks.
Agreed. So what we're going to do to try to alleviate that a little bit is, instead of two laps on a 4.5 mile course, we're going to have everybody do just one lap on roughly a 10 mile course. And we're going to start it more like an enduro. Last year, we started 15 guys on a row every 30 seconds, which meant, you know, 30 guys were going onto the course, you know, every minute. What we're going to do for this year is six riders are going to start every minute. And it'll take, if we fill up the rider limit at 350 or so, it's going to take roughly an hour to get everybody out. But that, I think, will have everybody spread out a little more, that hopefully, you won't have to deal with bottlenecks. And obviously just having one lap when the fast guys come around the, you know, in years past to do their second lap, you know, they're coming upon people stuck in all the good lines, and that won't be a problem because it's just going to be one lap on a 10-mile course.
I like that. I think I remember it being absolute chaos off the start last year. People didn't know what we were doing. Your bikes were still running. Bikes weren't running. It was last year when it was so dusty we could hardly see off the start.
Yes, last year was very. Yep.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, so then that's the qualifier race. I think that'll be a good change. It may, like you said, take a while to get everyone off, but I mean, hey, if it reduces bottlenecks and gets everyone out on a course. And so one thing you told me before we hit record was about how the difficulty, some new sections that they're not new sections, some old sections you're going to bring in that were normally Sunday stuff, nothing major, but.
Correct. We're going to use some of the easier main event stuff. Not all of it, but, you know, some of it. We're going to use some of a 50-minute trail. We never used that on the Saturday qualifier race. We're going to run you guys down the entirety of 409, which we've never used that on the qualifier race as well. So, and there's some other little sections that we've added in that, you know, will definitely increase the difficulty factor for Saturday. Now, it's like I said, it's not going to be anything like the main event. You guys got to remember, I know so many people want it hard. They want it hard. But, you know, we get 350 riders. You know, we typically get about 100 C riders. And the difference in ability level from, you know, your pro to somebody like you to a C level rider is, you know, just incredible. You know, what you guys think is easy, them guys, you know, are having a hard time making it through. So you top guys just got to be a little patient and get to the main event, which we are taking more people, which maybe I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit here. But from that qualifier race that we were just talking about, in years past, we've taken 60, where this year we're going to take 120 riders out of that qualifier race that will go directly to the main event.
Well, and that was one thing we talked about, because I think in years past, it's 60 out of the qualifier and then 10 out of the LCQ, right? So 70 total?
Correct.
Okay. And then one reason you guys only did that, was it concern for riders on course, or was it the GPS units were so expensive?
Well, when we started this race, you know, we were only getting 100 to 125 riders, you know, for the first 3 or 4 years. And it's really seemed to blow up over the last few years. And we had increased it to 60, then we increased it to 70. And yes, the transponders, you know, they're expensive. You know, we use them for the main event. They cost us $20 for each one. And but we decided to, you know, raise it and take 130 total to the main event. And, you know, it's just money. We're not out there to make money. We're out there to promote the sport. And, you know, I think in years past, when you go down and look at the riders that missed out on the main event, you know, by a few spots, like, these are some really good guys. And I think they would really appreciate, you know, our main event course. So, you know, we're gonna let more people in and see how it goes.
Well, I completely agree with everything, because I think there's a lot of guys that were either right on the bubble or slower guys that can ride the rough stuff that didn't make it in. So that opens it up. It'd be interesting to go back and look at last year's qualifying and see, okay, down to that 120, 130 mark, who would have come in and you know, kind of how they would have respectively done.
We're going to put somebody out right now. One of our buddies, Drew. He qualified 131. You know, I said to him, I'm like, you got to do just a little bit better next year, because you don't want to be that guy that missed it by one spot. That would be Chad Evans.
What? That was Chad? Okay. Well, he would. So, and I think he's been riding a lot. So I think maybe Chad can do well. But that just goes to show Chad's one of those guys who can go out and ride the really rough stuff and just bulldog through everything that probably would not finish 130 in the main event. He could probably get in the 60s, I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's really cool. And I think a lot of people drove that come to, again, I know you said some of the guys, the C riders show up not knowing what they're getting into, but there's a lot of guys like Chad who want the really rough stuff and drive 12 or 15 hours, get there and only get to do that one race plus the LCQ and don't have the opportunity to see the really bad stuff.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, we've upped the amount of people we're taking to the main, making Saturdays a little more difficult. You know, the sport just keeps evolving. It's incredible. We talk about it all the time. The stuff we put in the first couple of years that we thought, oh, this is going to be so hard, this is going to be amazing, you know, now it's like, well, we'll just use this Saturday because it's easy stuff, you know. I looked at the first couple years, like, we can't be in there. I'm like, this is too nasty. This is, there's no way. Like, then that's where we're visiting now. You know, that's where the new trails are going. Things that looked impossible just 4 or 5 years ago. Now it's main event stuff.
All right. Well, before we get to the main event and the massive pro purse you guys have put together. So we talked about the qualifier race. You said one lap, roughly 10 miles.
Yes.
Okay. And then everyone will do that, six per row. I guess we'll start it pros first, old A's second, A class third.
That's what you're hoping for. But you might have to talk to Josh and Matt about that. So,
hey, listen,
or maybe Drew Kirby can add to our purse a little bit change things around here.
Well, I don't even think I'm racing. I think your son has deemed me as pit bitch. So, or maybe that was you. I can't remember. So I'm spectating.
Bring your bike.
I will. I'll bring my bike.
Places you've never seen before, because you never got that far in the main event, Drew.
That is true. I got farther than I ever have last year. But anyway, okay. So, all right. So once the qualifier is done, I assume that'll be Saturday morning.
Yes.
Okay. Then we'll go Saturday afternoon. We'll be doing the LCQ.
Correct.
Okay. So anyone that doesn't make that top 20 cutoff, so it'd be what, 121 through 350, goes to the Saturday afternoon LCQ. What are you guys planning for that?
Well, we got a totally different course. It's going to be a little shorter, but it's still going to be about 7.5 miles or so. And it's going to be similar to the qualifier race last year, with the exception they're going to go up Stairway to Heaven, do all the stuff up on top. So like you said, it'll be, you know, riders 121 to however many people show up. Hopefully we get 350 or so. We're going to start them off the same way we did the qualifiers. We're going to get six riders, but we're going to do them every 30 seconds. And like I said, it's about a 7.5 mile course, and we're going to take 10 out of that LCQ qualifier. And the last half mile, maybe 3/4 of a mile of the qualifier race is also going to be the last half of, or the last half mile or so of the LCQ race. So that is going to include 409.
Okay. So they'll get some familiarity when they get back to that.
Just a little bit. Like I said, about the last half mile, last 3/4 of a mile.
But whether they want it or not.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then we'll take the top 10 out of that. And then, all right, let's go to Sunday, main event. I think we're going to start early again.
9 o'clock,
5 hour time limit.
6 hour.
Oh, six. Well, I'm not racing. I don't care. Maybe. We'll see. All right. So 6 hour time limit.
Racing. Who are you kidding?
Oh yeah, I'll try anyway. All right. So what is, what's new? You know, last year we did Stairway to Heaven twice. No, wait, Bronx Out of Heaven twice. This year you said you've added some new additions.
A few new additions. We're going to take you guys out a little farther. Last year you went out to Pit of Misery the first lap and then kind of headed back. We're going to go one more ravine on the first lap, a little farther out towards where Down in a Hole is and Confusion Falls, and then we're going to send you back over towards the Wrong Side of Heaven. We got a couple little new sections, a couple little rock piles here and there, a couple little new short climbs that are going to be thrown in that first lap. You're not going to do the Wrong Side of Heaven twice on the first lap like you did it last year. You're only going to do it once, but we've added in a couple new uphills. I guess I shouldn't call them new. We used them for second lap only last year in the Wrong Side of Heaven. You're going to do the majority of what was the second lap stuff on the first lap this year on the Wrong Side of Heaven area. So it's going to end up being about, just the Wrong Side of Heaven area is about twice as long as what it was last year, but you're only going to do it once.
Okay. Is that going to be pretty early on? Or I know you said we were going out to some of the pits first.
Well, it's towards the end of the first lap. The first lap's going to be about 12, maybe 13 miles. So it's about maybe a mile and a half or so from the end. So it's still pretty far into the race. I think it's going to take a good 40 minutes or so, you know, to get there. Maybe a little less for the top guys, but, you know, it is definitely towards the end of the lap.
I'm just thinking spectator-wise. Like I said, my favorite part was coming through Wrong Side of Heaven with all the crazy everyone yelling and screaming and all that fun stuff.
Yep. Well, hopefully we'll have just as many, if not more, spectators. And like I said, that section will be a little longer. And a lot of the guys, you know, most people can't do that all that fast. So if you're a spectator, you know, you can walk along with the riders and see them at a couple different spots, because everything is very condensed in that Wrong Side of Heaven area.
Okay. Very true. All right. So lap one is we'll finish with that. You said roughly towards the end. And then what do you got for lap two?
Oh, and still back to lap one. We didn't talk about one of your favorite sections, no quarter. I know how you roll your eyes and that you guys want harder. And then we give you harder. And then you complain that it's too hard. You hard and door guys are just never happy.
Oh, no comment.
So this year also, we're going to send you through no quarter. And last year you got out of the ravine about halfway through. And this year we're going to send you through the whole thing. So it's about twice as long as what it was last year. The guys who did the second lap were the guys that saw the whole ravine last year. It was a second lap only option, but we're going to make that this year that you do the whole thing on both laps.
Okay. So, well, that was because we've run it 2 years now. The first year we ran it, it was at the end of the lap and it felt like it was 8 miles long. And then last year we ran it early and it felt like it was a mile long. But we exited the same place both years for me.
Correct. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So I've never seen the second half of it.
Yeah. No, you have not seen the second half of it, but you know, you will this year when you're competing.
Walking. Anyway. Okay. All right. So then no quarter, which is that was the famous one that never ended. That was, I think some people might've died in there and they finally, I know Sam died in there and
nobody died. We looked, no one died.
What was
that? Transponder back. That's one of the reasons why we use the transponders, you know, to make sure we can keep everybody safe. And, you know, if somebody does have a problem, you know, we know where they're at.
No, it is really cool. And I would love to have it at a lot of races. I mean, y'all's property, I don't want to say it's not that big, but, you know, you can fall off some pretty gnarly stuff and like, it's just hard to find you for sure.
You are correct.
Oh, all right. So that's the end of lap one.
Yep.
And what do we got? Lap two.
Lap two, we'll go out and then it's going to go over and do all those little nasty rocky uphills by the swimming hole over there and by Sickness and 50-minute trail. We added just one, I guess maybe two small little uphills over there. Okay. And then after that, you're going to go out and at the end of down in a hole, you're going to continue on straight, Confusion Falls, and then you're going to go into Prison Sex and Welcome to the Jungle and Wicked Garden and Nightmare and all those fun sections that there was about 25 or 30 that saw that, you know, last year. And hopefully a few more guys will make it out that far this year.
All right. And then I don't think we want to talk about it, but you've got one really gnarly new section you've added in that we've got some. I'm going to do some investigating. I'm headed to Grinding Stone next Tuesday. We're doing some sightseeing and then going out to Page. So I'll talk to the top guys about what we talked about last night, get their opinion on what they think.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay.
Yeah.
After you do all the sections that I talked about, you're going to come around, you're going to do the wrong side of heaven again. And then after that, there's going to be a check there and we're going to direct the guys that make it that far, you know, a different direction they're going to go. And they're going to do all of Panama backwards from previous years. You did half of it backwards last year after you did wrong side of heaven the first time, but we're going to send them on the second lap through all of Panama backwards, which there's some gnarly little, you know, rocky uphills. That's why we avoided it last year for the first lap, because I just felt like it would have been too much for the tail end of the main event guys. Mm-hmm. And but being second lap only, I really don't see more than 20 people, you know, getting that fall. Them guys can handle it. And then they're going to drop down into a ravine that's between Panama and No Quarter. It's probably the deepest ravine we have on the property. And it's going to be pretty gnarly. Although every time I say we cut in a new section, it's going to be pretty gnarly. The top guys, they breeze through it like it's nothing. So hopefully it'll be another challenge for them. And we'll see how it goes.
Like I said, I remember 2 years ago, maybe three, last time Ashburn Jordan was there, he was like, there was only two, three guys racing that course. The rest of us were just surviving. And it's gone at least another level since that comment.
Yeah, absolutely. Like last year, conditions were perfect. And I think there was a few guys, you know, more than a few guys actually racing the course. Mm-hmm. We'll see what conditions hold this year. Like last year before the event, we hadn't had any rain for at least like 3 weeks leading up to it, which is very rare in May, you know, around here in the Northeast. Traction was primo. So, you know, it all, as usual, it all depends on the weather. A little bit of rain, a little bit of wetness, you know, makes things, it's a different story.
Oh, the traction was so good last year. All the pits, they weren't, oh, they were, it was, I was thinking about, there's one of those pits that there's a big climb out of. It's down in a hole or I don't remember which.
Pit of misery.
Pit of misery, yeah. It was, and it was just like, oh gosh, this could have been so bad. And there was a couple other little climbs where, you know, you could really just put it in first gear and kind of doggy paddle up some stuff that was not even, think of, you know, in years past wasn't even doable.
Yep.
So pray for not much rain again. All right. So what'd you say? 9 a.m. start time, 6 hour race.
Correct. And they're going to be rows of 10. Okay. And we're gonna give a little bit more time in between each row that is not going to be time adjusted. In years past, we always did 15 seconds between each row because I wanted there to be, you know, an advantage to doing well on Saturday, but I didn't want it to be too much of an advantage. I know we have, you know, talked about this in the past, but last year, like you said, how dusty it was. The start was sketchy. It was bad because of how dusty it was. So we're gonna go 30 seconds between row. And I know we've talked a little bit. You know, you were like, oh, like, I don't see how it even really matters. You know, very few positions were determined by less than, even a minute and at the end of the race. So it is, you are going to get a little more advantage if you do well on Saturday. If you start on the front row, you know, you're obviously on the front row ahead of everybody and you're going to get a 30 second advantage over the second row and then 30 seconds between every row on back.
I think that's a good call because it seems like every year we always do a couple of sections and then there's that hard way you take us into 409 and that's where the bottleneck kind of happens seemingly every year. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it was so dusty. I mean, Tristan went down in the next row about hit him because it was a pile of dust that we couldn't even see the flagger when we went.
Yep. You are correct. It was bad.
It was great for traction, bad for visibility.
Well, so a little more time in between rows. Hopefully that will, you know, alleviate any issues, even if it is dusty and maybe it'll, you know, spread out people just a little bit more. But, you know, I feel like even 30 seconds, you know, like over a 6 hour race, over our course, which is so extremely difficult, you know, 30 seconds one way or another, you know, I don't feel like is hurting you if you're on the second row or third row or wherever you're at.
I couldn't agree more. Like I said, I think we'd even talked about it when we were talking about doing this. Let's just go back and look at the results and see what separated. Who separated by 15 seconds or 30 seconds?
Nobody was, because I actually did that.
Did you really?
It was back to like 40th or so, and they were separated by like just a little less than a minute. Every other position was well over a minute. Most of the time it was, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes between positions.
Okay. Well, and that's how I would expect it to be. And, you know, again, it's 6 hours. It's not like we're doing a 30 minute sprint race where every second counts.
Yeah.
All right. So now the good part, you've got a massive purse and I think I figured out how we need to split this purse up. So how big's the purse?
All right. So the purse this year is $40,000. We increased it by $5,000. Okay. So $40,000 divided between, the main event, and also some of that's towards the women's purse as well, which they're going to be competing in however they do. If they make the main event, which last year, you know, we had two girls make the main event, then, you know, it's just however far they get. They don't have their own separate women's pro race, correct? Okay. It's just, you know, however it's far just, they get.
So the basically the female or woman who gets the farthest is the winner.
Correct.
Okay. So what I was thinking was you said you're paying back to 40th, right?
We are paying back to 40th place. Yes. We thought that, you know, it's nice. There's so many guys out there, you know, that are really good riders and they don't ever get anything. You know, I think most clubs probably only pay back to 10th, you know, at the most, maybe some go a little deeper, but, you know, you're not going to get a ton of money, but you're going to get something back for, you know, 40th place.
And so basically if you made the main event last year, you're going to get paid this year. So I think what we should do, forget what you were going to say about paying the winner all the money. Let's just give everybody $1,000 top 40. How about that? That's what I was thinking. I thought of last night. I was like $40,000, 40 places. It the math works.
Yeah. If we did that, would that get you to enter?
Yes. I don't know if I can get 40th though. We'll find out.
Well, we'll take that into consideration, Drew, but I kind of doubt that that's the route we're going to go.
I would expect no less. So what is the overall payout to the overall winner?
$12,000. We're going to give to whoever can navigate two laps around Tough Leg War, and which is only going to be like 26 miles. You know, it's
only
20 miles, and you get 6 hours to do it.
Okay. All right. So last year, do you remember how many finishers we had?
We had.
Or you 11, had, I should say.
11. 11. Okay.
11 finishers last year. And what is Tristan? Tristan won it last year somehow with two broken foot pegs and no visor.
Correct. Yeah. And it was like 3 hours and it was right around 30 minutes. It might have been a little shy of 3 hours and 30 minutes or a little past 3:30, but it was right around 3:30. It seems like however difficult we make the course, however hard we make the course, as long as it's like two laps around 25, 26 miles, it seems like he always does it in roughly the same amount of time, 3.5 hours.
It's hard to believe. Like I said, I saw his foot pegs. I mean, we all did last year, what was left of them, and there wasn't much.
No, there was not. No.
So what's your prediction for this year? You just going to say he's going to do it in 3.5 hours again?
I have no idea. You know, like, I know it seems like Cody was in Hawaii there and had a good race and he started out their year well at King of the Motos. So anything can happen. You know, I'm surprised all the time that these guys don't have a bad race every once in a while where something breaks or, you know, like the courses are so difficult and demanding and it's so easy to break something, you know, break a radiator, you know, bust a hose, you know, whatever. But them guys never seem to do it. They seem to amaze us all the time. And that's one of the reasons why we want to, you know, give back to these top guys. You know, they feel, or we feel like they deserve, you know, that sort of money for the torture that we put them through.
No, I couldn't agree more, but you forgot Cody did struggle at one of the Hawaiian races and got fourth. So there's been some chatter and he said there's some gold on his, I guess he's trying to get a hold of his GoPro footage from that race. And man, he said it was the slickest place he's ever been. And
okay.
It didn't look like he was having fun. I've seen a couple of videos that were just, he looked like me out there. Just, God, I don't know what was going on.
Yeah. I watched a bunch of videos of it as well. And, you know, that I guess that's why so many of them do so well when they come to TKO, the mm-hmm. Hawaiian boys I'm talking about, you know, because I think, you know, TKO is one of the slipperiest places that I've ever ridden, when it's wet there. And, I guess that's just what them boys are used to.
Yep. No, I couldn't agree more, especially if we get a wet TKO, which seemingly we haven't had in a few years. And, you know, back to your point about Tristan finishing last year in 3.5 hours, maybe it was because it was so dry and the added difficulty was kind of evened out by the traction.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, like I said, if it was humid, you know, or wet at all, you know, I think that definitely adds a lot of time, you know, to the entirety of the race, you know, for the top guys. So.
Well, and it was, sorry, go ahead.
I said, I guess we'll just wait and see, yeah, you know, well, we want people to finish, you know, it's not like, oh, I want the winner to do it in 5 hours or something like that. That's not the case at all. We just want to challenge the top guys. But it's just absolutely incredible. The stuff you have to put in to actually challenge the top few guys, because they just make everything look so easy. And it seems like I've said before, like, you see them guys during a race and I feel like they are just in a different zone and you could point at anything. There could be a straight up cliff, you know, and you could look at them and say, that's where the course goes. You got to get to the top. And they are just have such a mindset of one way or another, I'm going to figure out how to get my bike up there. And that's the mindset they seem to have.
Well, and you know, we've been fortunate enough to free ride with some of those guys. And it's like you said, when you go riding with them, the stuff that they're like, we're just going to see if we can get up that. And I'm looking at it going, nope, there's no way. And next thing I know, they're pushing up to the top of it and they're out. So it is truly impressive what they can do.
You are absolutely right. My son opened my eyes a few years ago, you know, when we were looking at stuff. And he's like, Dad, you look at stuff from your ability level. And he's like, if you feel like you can do it, he's like, it's going to be way too easy for them guys. He's like, it has to look impossible to you. And now we go out and look at stuff and I have people from the club helping and, you know, they're looking at me like, are you nuts? You know, like how nobody's going to make it up this hill. And I'm like, okay, if it looks impossible to us, we might challenge them top guys a little bit. We might make them struggle a little. So That's what we're going for.
Well, if you, I don't know if you've seen any of the guy that does the video, Blake, with SkyPixel Media. He's been doing some local, local boroughs, was basically taking the top guys and just taking them out free riding and seeing what they can do. And Cody did a line when they first did it right after King of the Motos. Cody did this line and it was just like, I couldn't even fathom doing it. You know, I mean, so, and then I saw one the other day that it was Tristan Ryder and Will were doing, and it was just like you said, it's like they pointed a wall or a hill and say, yeah, that's the line, and boom, there they go. So, all right, so we've covered.
When you see them doing stuff like that, that's why they're as good as they are. They're just constantly pushing each other, to see what they can do. And when one does it, well, then that just, lights the fire under the other guys with, hey, okay, it can be done. Let's see if I can do it.
Well, exactly your point. I think when you get the top three or four guys together, then it's exactly that. It's constant one-upmanship and they don't want to give up to the other one. So one thing I am bummed about, it just came to mind. So obviously Tristan's Factory KTM, Ryder's Factory Husky, and Will Reardon got on the Factory Gas team this year. One thing I'm a little bummed about is it doesn't sound like they're going to be able to do any of the non-premier rounds, so like the regional rounds of the U.S. Hard Enduro Series. So that's why none of them were in Hawaii. Only Cody was there, because if the KTM group or the Austrians don't send a mechanic and a full support, those guys can't do it. So I'm kind of bummed, some of the other, I don't want to say smaller races, but some of the ones that aren't the premier races in years past, you'd get, if they're around, Ryder'd go do it, or Tristan would be in town, he'd go do it.
Yeah.
But so something to kind of bummed about.
Gives the opportunity for some other people to, win, taste victory and be the guy.
There you go. Didn't think about it that way. There you go. All right, Rob. So I think we've talked about everything Tough Like Roar. Anything else you want to talk about? You guys, have you heard anything about the Locked and Loaded's, anything they've got going on? I have not talked to Mikey. I know he's still doing the scoring. Excuse me.
I've been in contact with Mike, just making sure we're good with everything with our scoring and with sign up and things like that. And we talked a little bit about, their event, and it sounds like, like once you have a course established, like typically you're just adding some small sections in here and there. And it sounds like, like that's what they're doing. They said they were putting in some sort of like over under bridge over this creek and, to make it a little more accessible to fans and, being able to, for the fans to see a guy and then maybe a couple minutes later come through, roughly the same area, for better spectating and things like that. And, we had talked and he's in the same boat that I was. He's like, man, no matter what you do, these guys just get through it. And he's like, yeah, he goes, that's just the way it is. And so I would think that their event is going to be similar to last year with, just some harder stuff thrown in. I've never raced that, but I've been up the last 2 years and they put on a phenomenal race that, challenges all them top guys similar to ours. I think it's a pretty amazing weekend. If you're a top guy and can do 3 days of hard enduro at our two courses, I'm like, you're one bad dude.
Well, and I will say, I don't want to say I bowed out, but I quit your race a little early because I knew I had to race the next day. Now I got farther than I ever had, like I said before, but it played into my Tough Like Roar race thinking I still got to do it a whole nother race tomorrow. But if they wouldn't have been on the same weekend, I wouldn't have come back for the Locked and Loaded. So I think it's a heck of an idea and a great weekend.
Do you think that was the right move? I remember watching Zach Attack's videos, and he kind of said the same thing. He was kind of saving some energy for Sunday's race. And then I think he mentioned at some point, he's like, maybe that wasn't the right thing to do. Believe it or not, he's like, I actually felt pretty good on Sunday, once the race started. And he said, maybe I could have done a little better on a Tough Like Roar if I would have just continued on instead of trying to conserve energy for the next day.
I'm glad I did it because it worked out in the long run, but because I wouldn't have made it to the, I don't think I would have made it to the next check because Jarrett was not far in front of me. He was in like Joe's garage, which was right after the check where I quit. He didn't make it to the next check. There was a guy he was with that did. And I don't know how bad a shape Jarrett was in. Like, I don't know if I was feeling better than he was, but I had it in my head. That's where I was quitting because you told me get to that check and then it's a long way to the next one. So,
yeah. It's not a long way, but there's a lot of hard stuff in between those two checks.
it was only about
a little over a mile, but there's some nasty, nasty, you know, rocky uphills in there. There's about seven of them that you had to do.
Yeah. Well, and it was myself and then Travis Wilson. We were both like, we're done, we're quitting. We were both racing the next day. And then there was one of the Hawaiians, Ryan, his name, last name starts with a G. I can't pronounce it. And Chance Baker, all four of us are all 40 expert. We all got to that check. You know, it was me, then Travis, then Chance, then Ryan. Yeah. And I was like, I'm done. I sat there and drank a Coca-Cola because someone had one in the cooler with Travis. And then Ryan was asking Chance, are you going? Are you not going? Because Chance wasn't racing the next day. And so I was like, I'm quitting. And Chance goes, I don't know. And I was like, I could tell by his look he was going. So I gave him all my pickle juice or whatever I had left. And I took off. And then Ryan gets back. He's like, you know, Chance kept going. What? He told us he wasn't going to. I was like, okay. I was like, I don't care. So, but it, I mean, he didn't make it to the next check.
He never made it to the next check in time.
No, he didn't. But it definitely, I think, made me much better. Because when I started the race on Monday, the locked and loaded race, I was hurting pretty good, but you know, you kind of ride into it and start feeling better.
Yep.
But the first,
go ahead.
I was gonna say the first part of that race was faster with a lot of baby head rocks. And it just was just, you know, beating you to death. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. If it's, you know, 20 miles of this, I was like, I'm never going to make it. But luckily it got slower and harder.
Well, I think they're going to throw a little bit more of the slow and hard stuff in from the beginning.
Okay. I know that their goal was always to build intensity and difficulty as the loop, so you don't get a big bottleneck early on or something. But that's another one. If it would have been wet, there's a couple spots that I would have been very challenging. There was one hill early on that they made a bypass like halfway up that I think I made it first time. But if it was wet, it would have been a pile up for sure.
As any run, you know, as any race, you know, weather plays such a huge factor. Be it rain or, you know, temperature. So,
well, and
can't control the weather. So it is what it is.
Well, and that was another thing, because last year we moved the race. You guys moved the race. I always say we, from July 4th up to Memorial Day. And it was what, sunny and 70? Couldn't have been better weather.
Yep. It was primo conditions. That's for sure. And it's always been, you know, we used to always have our Enduro on Memorial Day weekend. So the club is pumped, I think, to have our big event on the holiday weekend. And, you know, I think it definitely makes it easier from everybody's standpoint, from not only, you know, you guys racing, but from us, you know, like, okay, you guys are out there for 6 hours during the race. Well, we're out there more than 6 hours, you know, we're getting ready. We're out there during the race. And then we tear everything down, you know, that directly after the race. So you guys are out there 6 hours, but you know, we're out there 10 hours or more, you know, so we enjoy the cooler temperatures as well.
No, I never even thought about that. And that's one thing I haven't mentioned this. We've said it years past. The, what is it? Reading off-road riders?
Redding.
Redding. It's spelled like reading. Reading off-road riders. You guys have an amazing club and all the, you know, all the guys in orange shirts do so much and put on a great event for sure.
Yes, we do have an amazing club. You know, I know we are very fortunate with the amount of membership that we have to go out and, you know, put on the race. I couldn't imagine trying to do an event with, you know, just a handful of people. And fortunately, yep, we got a big membership and, you know, just about everyone in the club comes out, gives us a hand and, you know, to pull off such a good event.
All right. So here's, I think if I'm not racing and I'm coming all the way up there just to be your son's pit bitch.
Yep.
I think he has to race Roar and Locked and Loaded. What do you think?
Well, that's up to you.
No, it's not. He has to. If I'm coming to support him, he's got to man up and do both of them.
I don't know if he's that much of a man, Drew. What do you think?
He's been working out. He's looking in somewhat of shape. So we'll see. I just got to get him on the bike more is the problem.
Well, you know, like he's a little different than you. You are definitely results motivated. You want to do well. You want to win at all costs. And he's not like that. He just wants to have fun. You know, like you said, you made a comment that, you know, him and another guy moved on from the check that you were at. And he quit when he stopped having fun. We put in a downhill that we're not putting in this year in the race, that a lot of guys just kind of drop their bikes off the edge And yep. I heard numerous, like, that hill sucked comments about it. We're not going to put that in. And Jared said he was having fun up until that point. And he said he dropped his bike down. Then he slid down and rolled into a pile of rocks. And he's like, nope. He's like, I just stopped having fun. And he's like, I know where I'm at. I'm going back to the van. And so, like I said, he's a little different than you. But you can certainly try to talk him into racing Monday. But that might be a tall ask.
I have a feeling he'll do what we did last year when he was supporting me at the race. As we pulled into the parking lot, he cracked open a White Claw or something stupid and started drinking at 7:30 in the morning. So I was like, well, you're not going to be much help to me today. And then I found out later when you guys were offering everyone watermelon and chicken and all this stuff that he'd gotten all the food out of my cooler that was for after the race and was giving it out to me. So what a guy. What a guy.
There's some funny stories with that. We were at that little uphill and one of his buddies, I forget who it was at the bottom of the hill. And, you know, you could see he was spent and he looked up and saw Jared. And Jared's like, whoever it was, he's like, dude, he's like, I got chicken. He's like, I got watermelon up here. And you could see the guy's eyes light up. He's like, okay, I have a reason now, you know, to try to muster up some energy and get up this hill. Well, he got about halfway up the hill and here comes Nick Faringer. And Nick Faringer got around him, got to the top of the hill and looks at Jared and Nick goes, you got watermelon? And he stuck his big lumberjack paw into the thing, grabbed a handful and shoved it all in his mouth and took off. And Jared's buddy came up to the top of the hill and Jared goes to him. He goes, I got to be honest with you. Nick ate all of the watermelon. He goes,
well,
the guy just like, okay, I'll have.
Yeah, I think as the story goes, Nick didn't even take his glove off either. He just stuck his dirty gloved hand in the watermelon and got it.
You are correct.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, and that was my watermelon for after the race and my chicken. Thanks, Jarrett. Oh man. Well, I'm looking forward to it. We're a couple months away. Anything else, Robert? What else is going on?
Oh, I don't know. Just, enjoying the nicer weather up here. It's almost spring. There's no snow on the ground. Unlike you, we get to ride our dirt bikes and just getting ready for the race.
Well, my question is, it's a Saturday at 8:45. Weren't you out working on trail?
I'm going to as soon as I get off this podcast with you. I'm going to head up and do something.
All right. Is Joey going to be there in his new 2024 KTM 300?
Yeah. One trip down south, he rode Sam's bike and I don't even think he got out of first gear. He rode it for like 2 minutes and he came home and like 2 days later, he went to Schaefer's and bought a brand new bike and he loves it.
Well, it's good. It was time. He needed one. I think it'll help him a lot.
Agreed. I think it will too.
All right, Rob. So, well, hey, thanks for your time. We'll see you here. Oh, go ahead.
Sure. I was just going to say, are you going to any of the ones before ours? I know my kid is. Battle of Goats and Kairos. You going to at least go to any of them or you passing?
It'll depend on the schedule. I'd love to go to Battle of the Goats. We have something going on. I missed Battle of the Goats last year because we had a wedding. So I'd love to go there and at least hang out and maybe – you know, kind of do what I'm going to do in Grinding Stone. Check out the race. I think I'm doing some announcing out there. Not sure. Battle of the Goats. I just love to go see it. You know, just sometimes it's fun to get on the bike and just go see, be able to watch the top guys instead of being out there while they're out there.
Absolutely. They're amazing to watch. And I'll put a shout out to Kairos, like you said earlier, where you hurt yourself. Me and Joey came down and I did that race. That's the first race I've done in a long time. And I had an absolute blast. Their course was incredible. Now, maybe if they would get a lot of rain, it would not be incredible, but conditions were primo, similar to what they were when we had our race, and I had a blast, and I would recommend it to anybody, who likes difficult trail. It was a lot of fun, and that's an amazing piece of property, that they have access to there to ride on.
No, I was going to say that it was awesome. They hosted a great event. And if it would have rained, it would have been a totally different, I don't know if we'd have made a lap. But yeah, it's awesome.
Uphill.
Yeah, it was a good one. But yeah, so before your race, we got a couple more. We got Grinding Stone. We got the Snake Bite Hard Enduro. And then the Moab Hard Enduro, which is the new one on the schedule this year. Neither one of those are premier rounds. I'm losing my voice again. And then April 27th, 28th, Battle of the Goats. And then May 11th is River Monsters, which is at Kairos, but it's not a premiere round. So then after that, the next premiere rounds are Tough Like Roar and Locked and Loaded. So it's nice, kind of a spring heavy schedule again. And then one race in June, the Donner race in California if the snow melts. And then TKO is part of the schedule this year, which is going to be a big change.
Yeah, I saw that.
So hopefully that'll be good. So
looking forward to it.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Look forward to seeing you guys here in a few months. And thanks for the time. It's time to go cut trail now.
Anytime, Drew. Good seeing you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Yep. See you.